back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're this close. We're this close to football season. All of our Wise conversations, of course, brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. If you did not catch me trying the T-Berry ice cream, I did do it. I did it on camera. I made a funny face, and then I said, it's a little bit like a birch beer float. So this guy here likes ice cream. I know that for a fact because I've seen him eat it. Leonard Raskin here for Raskin Global. He is our weekly friend and foil and financial insider. And more than that, given all the Fs that I've associated with you, football fan. There's two Fs right there, right? I mean, it is football season. Right before I came on with you, the Ravens emailed over the new media guide. So I'm like sort of fingering through that digitally. And I'm thinking, all right, little vacation, come back, we'll have fake football. No time, right?
There you go. It's getting close to the NFL season. I think I saw some rookies reported various places, and Brett Favre turned down, Aaron Rodgers.
They're the same guy to us, right?
They look like the same guy. Right, I think Aaron Rodgers might be a better golfer. Who knows? But heard he turned down a serious chunk of change. I don't know what that's all about. It's kind of weird. I mean, can you be that offended by the fact that the team drafted a rookie quarterback that you're not going to take the most money in the NFL just to hang out another couple of years?
Well, you could do what Brady did, just chase him off to San Francisco and then leave for Tampa and leave him holding the bag. So Green Bay may be left holding the bag when it's all done. I think in the end, and I learned this earlier in the spring, I think Aaron Rodgers just wants to host Jeopardy. My wife and I are
pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. See, you watch Jeopardy. See that?
I do. He was pretty good. Of all the people that have come through, he was clearly top two.
You know, I think the TV hosts, some of them have done a nice job. I'm watching Robin Roberts this week, and she channels Alex Trebek, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's very obvious that she watched the show. So
she's trying hard.
Very much so. And some people were doing their own thing. You know,
they marched to see somebody be themselves and come through, and it's been bad. It's been really, my opinion, it's been really bad.
I thought the Ken, well, then you just long for Alex Trebek. Maybe you're played.
I want somebody with some personality. I want somebody that's going to engage the contestants. I want somebody that in their own right feels like they should be there. And the best guy, here's my opinion, and for what it's worth department, is the producer of the show.
Oh, you liked him? See, my wife hated him.
Best host of anybody that's hosted so far.
He was like way too good looking and polished a guy to be behind the scenes, right? He didn't look like an executive. He looked like the host, you know?
He looked the part. He was great with the contestants. Great in the role.
See, I didn't know you were a Jeopardy guy. I would have been talking Jeopardy with you a long time ago.
Obviously been in the place a while, so he gets it.
Do you privately harbor any thoughts that you could be a Jeopardy contestant?
No.
See, I do.
I think for me, it's one or two categories a night. Maybe I can get them all.
You're thin. Okay.
The rest is a good guessing game. You know, my wife and son, super smart. My wife and son could be on there. My son, when they do the college thing, I want him to find out how to get there from OSU, from Ohio State, and be out there. He could definitely be on. The kid is wicked smart, as they say.
I said to my wife, if I ever pass the little test and I get in, I'll feel like the smartest guy in the world. And I know I can't win. That's the part of it that, like, I'm a pretty confident person, as you well know.
Yeah.
You know, but I really do feel like if I got picked and I flew to LA, I get waxed by anybody really good. Like when I see the really good contestants,
yeah, there's some smart people.
And then there's some people that, like, they're really good and they get one double Jeopardy, you know, like, and they cost them $5,000, and then they meander a little bit and you're like, they could have been a contender. You know, it's terrible to see a good player do something terrible, but Leonard Raskin is here. I'm sure you'd be a good Jeopardy player. I mean,
I'd hold my own, but I don't have any delusions of championship round stuff.
I always tell my wife, the highlight of my year, we have to go to the Molars every year. I'm going to tell him this on the recon this week, that I have to go to the Molars every year on Thanksgiving, because afterward, and there's like 50 Molars there's a huge amount of Molars, right, and over at Catonsville, and there's all sorts of desserts and leftover, like all this stuff, and they play Trivial Pursuit. And I'm always the first kid picked on the wall, you know, like when you're playing Little League, you know,
right.
So I'm always the one they want to fight over who gets me. And I'm like, Well, I mean, this is a very educated family. A lot of like they're doctorate people in the room, and they want me on their Jeopardy team or their Trivial Pursuit team. Yeah. I'm like, all right, well, it feels nice to be wanted. I mean, you know, WBAL never wanted me like that, Len, you know?
Yeah, I can pull it out every now and then, and it's a good interfamily competition.
When the category is French literature, last night the category was poetry. When the category, the final Jeopardy, let's go 17th century architecture. I'm like, oh, dude.
My son's got that hands down. I'm betting zero.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to see the question. I don't. The question will offend me at that point.
Yeah.
Leonard, it's football season, man, and I know we've done all we can do to avoid talking baseball. Apparently, you had some baseball thing when we were green room that you wanted to talk about in the second.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I have DirecTV.
Okay.
And DirecTV's got a free view of the MLB, whatever it's called, this week.
Post, because it's the week after the All-Star
game. All-Star, they're trying to get you to buy the second half
for
the
pennant race, for teams that are in the pennant race, right? Okay.
Yeah, right. So I watched a couple games around the league this week and brought some thoughts to my head. One of them was, who is Tyler Herb? So we'll go reverse Jeopardy. Who is Tyler Herb? Now, you can't Google Tyler Herb.
I'm going to Google Tyler Herb because that's what everybody does when they cheat.
Right. Bar trivia is gone as a sport.
He's a San Francisco Giant, I guess, right?
Well, he was.
Okay. What is he?
He was traded to the Orioles for Mike Yastrzemski.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I did not know that answer to that question.
Nobody knows that.
Okay.
But Mike Yastrzemski is the starting right fielder for the Giants.
I'm going to ask Luke if he knows who Tyler Herb is.
With 15 home runs this year.
Okay.
I'm wondering where we get a kid like that. Okay. There's this other guy that I was looking at the name of. Who is J.C. Encarnacion? Do you know that name?
I think he was a throw-in and a deal. I'm not sure.
Brett Cumberland. How about that guy?
Are these the Yusniel Diaz compatriots?
Evan Phillips and Bruce Zimmerman.
Well, Bruce Zimmerman. Bruce Zimmerman's okay.
Darren O'Day and Kevin Gausman went to Atlanta, and Kevin Gausman's throwing Cy Young baseball. I'm just curious.
Decisions that were made, and Leonard, I mean, you and I were friends at this point when this
was. No, I'm curious.
Radio,
here's
but
my curiosity.
Dan Duquette
made
these deals, right?
Is it
and
coaching?
You had a lame duck.
My question is, and this is legit. I'm not ragging the organization for a trade. I'm wondering, is it coaching that brings out the best in some players that they weren't getting? Because clearly these guys are talented and they're playing great ball, but they didn't play great ball when they were here, which is why they seemed expendable. And I'm just wondering, is it great coaching? You know, we talk about what I do for a living. And one of the things we do is we coach people about their money. And so I'm relating this to that because one of the biggest reasons, the biggest things that people make mistakes with their money is they act irrationally, they act emotionally, they don't act logically and prudently. And people lose a lot of money when things get scary fast. And, you know, we were chatting a bit and you mentioned it that this week we had a little scare in the market. We had a 770 roughly 5-point drop in the Dow on one day, a little over 2%. People start freaking out. You know, the
2% in a day is a lot.
The Delta variant. It's got everybody freaked out. We're going to shut down the economy again and the market's going away. And we sit here as coaches and reach out and let our clients know that, yeah, 2% is a lot, but you know what? Your portfolio's got to be built for this. You've got to understand that when stuff happens in the real world, not that your investments aren't, but when events occur, they do not have any impact on your long-term financial situation. They have short-term impact that should be meaningless to you. And if you're a day trader, then they matter. And then you're gambling. You're not investing. But if you're an investor and you're holding for the long term and your goals and dreams, then it's irrelevant. And then what happens? The next day, the market goes up 550 some points. So net 2 days, 200 points, less than a, you know, just over a half a percent, meaningless, meaningless. And so I'm equating that to these guys that got traded. The question is, did they go somewhere where the coaching was that much better? The management, the pitching coach, the hitting coach, or are they just in a different environment? I don't know.
I think it's a different culture, right? I mean, and the,
yeah, it's,
look,
it's a
if
lot
John
of things.
Angelos were here answering you, he would come up with some BS about how, you know, the new, that was from the old regime and the new regime. Look at Cedric Mullins. Look at how he's responded to the new coaching. Look at how, you know, Trey Mancini has persevered through this new, you know, and thrived. Look at what it's meant for John Means, who's the Dallas Keuchel of the Orioles organization, even though he didn't pitch so well the other day. They would say that some of these young players that have made their way have responded to the Astro Ball way, and some of the Tyler Herbs that came over from San Francisco, wherever they came from, that were rented off at that point, that the Yastrzemskis and the Gausmans, I would say to you that would be another indictment of Dan Duquette. So if I'm John Angelos, I would continue to roll Duquette under the ball and say, but you know, if we had Yastrzemski here with this regime, or if Kevin Gausman, if our pitching scientists had Kevin Gausman, who was, by the way, a lottery pick. I mean, Kevin Gausman was a guy who was supposed to be a 15-year major league frontline pitcher.
Absolutely.
He was supposed to be a guy that makes $100 million. He was drafted to be that because the Orioles stunk bad enough to be able to draft a guy like that, right?
You know, my wife, we were talking about Jeopardy. We're talking about baseball with her. She is the full cynic of Orioles baseball.
Oh, because she's alive and breathing. She must listen to the show.
But you know, she's watching this all women broadcast. Couldn't find the Oriole game this week, and we found out it was game of the week on YouTube. It's kind of weird. I didn't know YouTube broadcast a game of the week, but they do. So we went out to YouTube. We watched this all women broadcast, which was kind of cool. A lot of smart gals out there talking baseball. It was good stuff. And they put up on the board during the game, five down on the farm, soon to be Orioles, that are supposedly, you know, knocking the cover off the ball, throwing the miles per hour off the ball, doing great stuff in the minors. And she said, so they'll become Orioles, and in 2 years, they'll get traded away.
There you go.
It was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, but that, you know. Look,
that's the kind of thing is if the old man's watching the broadcast, and if the old man were watching the broadcast, it never would have involved the woman, so it wouldn't matter. But if the old man were watching the broadcast, he'd be like, get her off the air.
There you go.
I want her fired. Yeah.
That's it.
Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin.
Not only that, but the Giants, we were also listening to some John Miller.
Oh,
fabulous.
See, now that's a reason to take advantage of the free.
Fabulous.
Year, right.
Yeah. He was,
and they're good this year. Like, he has prosperity to broadcast.
First place.
Well, they won the World Series every other year there for a little while. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. He takes care of money in the American dream and summertime and all of that stuff on the vaccination thing and on the freak out to the financial markets. You and I spent a long time. The last thing we can have is the same thing we had a year and a half ago, which is overcrowded hospital rooms and people dying from something that we have a vaccine sitting down the end of the street they could get. We are in a different spot where if your parents came back, my parents came back, and we told them the 40% of the population, some places 60, 70% of the population, and in the optimistic places, 30% of the population don't want a vaccine that could save their life from a plague that has killed millions of people across the globe. My old man would say, you know, I grew up trying to go to school to be a doctor and be a scientist to listen to these people. You know, I'm vaccinated. I'm proudly vaccinated. I don't think it makes me smarter than anybody. I think it just makes me smarter than people that aren't getting a vaccine at this point.
Yeah. And there's a broad cross section of people not getting it. It's kind of amazing. You look around and there are some states where the numbers are really low. There's some demographics where the numbers are really low, and it's kind of befuddling. You know, you can't single out any group that's not getting it.
Well, Len, we were told early on and by everyone that African Americans in this country historically are afraid of vaccination.
Yeah, only under 30%.
Because of history, right? So we were told early on that that was going to be an issue in a place like Baltimore, that there wouldn't be huge lines at the stadium because, you know, I don't know that that's been the case in cities as much as in suburbs. I have to see all the data on that. And I only believe half of the data because that's who I am, because I'm a journalist. But I do know we have a problem here. I mean, it's very, very clear in areas where hospitals are, we have a problem with unvaccinated people. And the general science of me being vaccinated and carrying it around and giving it to someone who's unvaccinated, because I'm vaccinated, I would never know I had it.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. And like I said, the data shows under 30% of African Americans are vaccinated across the country. And in some places obviously in the South, where they make up a significant percentage of the population, it means that a significant percentage of the population is unvaccinated. But I think the good news is, from everything I hear and read, there's people, you know, sure, there's still people that are going to die. There's people that are sick. But it's nothing like the spikes that we saw a year ago. It's nothing like the spikes that were last winter. And that's a good thing. I mean, the numbers of people vaccinated, are the percentage is huge. In most places, it's 50-60%. And that I think is a testament to getting this thing out there and having it. You know, I wonder how many people would have gotten it if it wasn't free. The percentage would be a lot less.
COVID testing also, you know, there's been a period where COVID tests are $100. It's like, COVID tests are $100. Nobody's getting one.
Nobody's getting it. That's right. So, but what I think the thing that has to happen now for the next round of people that will or will not choose to get vaccinated, it's got to be with their personal physician. And I think what you're seeing is, and again, I don't know the exact data, as you said, haven't looked at all the stats, but I think one of the things that's happening is, as always, a lot of people in this country don't have a personal physician. So they don't have anybody to reach out to ask or to talk to about it. And they're going by whether it's their community or the world around them. Certainly the world they live in, their community is significant. And there are lots of people, whether it be African-American, Latino American, or just regular old, as Archie Bunker would say, regular old American, that don't want the jab.
Well, I'm not a big needle guy. I think we've talked about this, but there is a part of this where is if you don't have a doctor, and I don't have a proclaimed doctor in my phone that is my doctor. I have doctors in my phone, but not my doctor. Right. I think most people don't have a scientist in their life. Most people don't have a doctor. You know, if you are out on the internet listening to your friends tell you about science, you have
a problem.
You got a problem.
Look,
and it's like if you're out investing money without somebody like you, you're going to have a problem.
Hey, if you're listening to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok to get your medical advice, and as you said, your financial advice, you're going to have problems. Absolutely. You know, just because there's a book out there that says brain surgery for dummies, and I know what a scalpel looks like, doesn't mean I would operate on somebody I care about if they had a brain tumor. And equally, I'm not going to listen to social media when it comes to my decision about a vaccine. Or in my case, you know, for you, as you said, people shouldn't listen to that for decisions about money. One of the things that we talk about all the time with people is if you think I'm expensive to give you financial advice, you should look at the cost of not having me, the cost of working with an amateur, doing it yourself. You know, a big company, everybody knows this name, Vanguard. You know, there isn't anybody out there that doesn't know the name. Well, not, there's probably somebody, but when it comes to investing, most people have heard of Vanguard. Vanguard did a study years ago. They've repeated it multiple times. But it goes like this. We're a do-it-yourself company. So we take a look at all the do-it-yourself investors with us, with Vanguard. And we also support advisors and believe that advisors are important for people's financial future. We look at all the people that are invested with us, Vanguard, with advisors. And you'd think that Vanguard would be telling people to do it yourself. And what their data set showed was that the average individual invested by themselves versus with an advisor, the do-it-yourselfer underperformed on average 3% a year. 3% a year. So if you're out there, Facebook, Twitter, trying to figure out what to do with your money, you're losing a fortune. And if you're out there, Facebook, Twitter, trying to figure out whether or not to get a jab, you're an idiot. Now, I'm not saying you should get the jab or not get the jab. I'm just saying that's not the place you should get your answers to whether or not you should get the jab.
For you with money this summer, you're putting together some like Wednesday seminars and stuff. I know into the fall. When do we get going with that, Len?
Yes. Beginning of September, we're going to roll out Raskin Global University's the evening classes. We're going to sit around and we are going to talk basics of money. We're going to talk budgeting. We're going to talk what is a stock. I was with a young gentleman this week, son of a client. Didn't know what I was going to say there, did you? Son of a client. And young guy who wants to start investing. I said, well, what do you know about investing? And to his credit, he said nothing. I don't know anything. So we get to start and teach him the right way to do things, good habits. So that's what we're going to start talking about. What is a stock?
It's like when I picked up a golf club. I picked up like a baseball bat. He's like, no. You got to hold it the right way. You know, you'll never be able to swing it like a baseball bat, right?
Only person doing that's Charles Barkley, and he's not really good at golf. But he's getting better. He's taking lessons.
Imagine how good he would have been if he had a lesson.
That's exactly right. I mean, you could be a good golfer. So the fact is we're going to start teaching people basics of money. We're going to start with what is a stock? What is a budget? What is your cash flow? What is car insurance? Back to our Jeopardy. What is a will? You know, these things that you have to know to protect yourself, to make sure you have sufficient funds, and to create your American dream. And what I've learned over 35 years is my hope would be that the internet would make it easier for people to do this. But if you go to the internet, go to Google and type in investment, you'll get almost 2 billion entries to read. Good luck figuring out what to do there. That's worse than Facebook and Twitter combined. So we're going to teach people the basics. We're going to teach people what it is to deal with your money. And we're just going to have Q&A classes.
Is it Zoom or in person?
Both. Okay. We'll offer it in person, but we'll be live on Zoom. So if you can't get to our place and you can't see it with us, don't want to sit with us, you're out of town, whatever it is, you have the opportunity to see it on Zoom. It'll be recorded and put up on our YouTube channel. So the idea is we'll have it there archived. And it's an open, probably half hour of information. And as long as we need that night Q&A with the people that are on board to just talk about what are these basics that you need to know to achieve your American dream. And for a lot of people, it starts with, I went to work and they told me to put my money in the 401k. And I see them 10 years later and say, what are you in? And they go, I don't know. Somebody just told me to put money in here and I did. They don't know why. They don't know what. They don't know what it's in. And I get to people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, and I'm the first investment, insurance, financial professional they've ever spoken to. And it befuddles me why in my world there are so many people that do what I do, and yet 90% of the population has never met me. I'm a unicorn. They've never met somebody like me.
Well, a lot of people I know invest but don't understand. You know, there's a different thing about teach me how to do it as opposed to fish for me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing this Eastern Shore thing. I've eaten a million crabs. I've crabbed before, but I've eaten a million crab cakes. Every one of them came through a pickery. They weren't picked in the back at the restaurant.
Right.
I was, you know, that crab meat came from somewhere. Learning where it comes from and learning – all aspects. You're better off to learn something than to let somebody else handle it. That's been my experience in life.
Yeah. And the beauty is, you know, to that same end, I can be hit by a bus. So the people that work with us have to understand why we did what we did, because unfortunately the next guy might come along and defeat years of great planning because they have a different philosophy. And if you don't know why we're doing what we're doing and it makes sense to you and you understand it, you can make critical mistakes even with us. And we have people, you know, we talked about just the other day, that 702% drop in the market in one day. We had people a year ago, hard to imagine, it's been a year and a quarter, late March 2020. We had people that were ready to jump, pull the trigger, get me out of the market. I can't take this 30, 40% drop in the S&P and their stock portfolio went down 30%. And they wanted out. And that was not the time to get out. And we had a couple people that pulled the trigger and moved their money to cash, unfortunately, against all our better advice. And they haven't gotten back in the market yet, and they missed over 100 120% upside since they got out because they just couldn't take what happened. And that's horrible. So I'm not saying we keep people from doing everything, but we coach the heck out of people to make the right decisions. And that's what's really important, is to know that when it hits the fan, you got somebody in your corner saying you can get back out there and keep hitting.
Let it Raskin. He'll be in your corner. He's Raskin Global. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. Also, football season getting here. You can find him out at Baltimore Positive as well. And, of course, the Wednesday night seminars that are coming down the line. Always good to visit with you, man. I'll shave up for the next time we get together. I'm going to work on my tan, do a little beach time next week before training camp gets going. Then I'm back for the Crab Cake Tour. I've got the itinerary together, all 30 days.
Beautiful.
Sort of getting together now. And, we're going to get back here in September and visit your friends out of Pat. And we're going to have Brandon Scott over at Coco's. We had the punt. We had Johnny O at Costas this week, and Costas had electricity issues, about business issues. The big storm that hit on Saturday and Sunday and Monday.
Yep.
So we were supposed to have Johnny O. We're going to have him after I get back in September. So lots and lots of things going on. Leonard Raskin always there protecting you and educating you about your money. You can get the American Dream at RaskinGlobal.com. I will see you week after next. It will be August.
Amen.
There he is, Leonard Raskin, getting his kid off to college at Ohio State. Brian Billick, my partner, is residing in Columbus these days and living up in Minnesota. I'm going to get coach on next month for training camp for a little look at the Ravens. Luke is out in Owings Mills, first chance he gets. And I don't know, it's come and gone this quickly. All of a sudden, it's football season. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.